This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 302.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing the results with you of my recent 5-day sales challenge. It was a huge success. So in the 5 days of the challenge, those who took part generated a whopping £30,000 worth of sales. And then when I checked in with them a week after the challenge, that was up to £56,000 worth of sales. And I've no doubt that if I was to check in with them in a few weeks' time, and I will do, then that figure will have gone up quite significantly because, of course, they generated some leads during the challenge that will take a little bit of time to convert into sales. So what I'm going to do in this episode is I'm going to break down for you how I put the challenge together. I'm going to share with you some of the results. There's going to be some really surprising stats for you here. I'm going to talk also about how I marketed the challenge. And I think you're going to find this useful if, A, you've got anything that you want to launch over the next few months. You're going to get lots of tips and strategies on launching. And B, if you would like to run your own challenge, obviously I'm going to be breaking down the process, how I put it together, the marketing, the results, and that's all going to be really, really useful for you. And I'm going to be quite honest. I'm going to share some of the figures, some of the stats, some of the things that went well, some of the things that didn't go so well that we will review for next time. So first off then, why did I decide to put together a challenge? Well, I knew that I was going to need to open my membership community. So that's the Love Marketing membership. And it's the main way that you can work with me. I knew I was going to have to open it in September, so that's September 2018 if you're listening in the future. And that's because the last quarter of the year is always a really busy one for me because it's when I bring out my media diary. So my media diary is an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key days and awareness days, and it's become huge. It's the third year of the media diary, and it's become huge for me. I also have a small membership that goes alongside it. I also run a live event in November, and there's just so much going on. I knew that I had to have a launch in September, so that had been on the diary for quite some time. I decided that I wanted to run a sales challenge. I've done two really quite successful challenges recently. So one was an email list building challenge that I did earlier in the year. And I also did a Facebook page engagement challenge. And it was really interesting looking at the results of those two other challenges that I've done. So the email list building challenge was smaller. The Facebook engagement challenge, I think, got up to about 1,700 registrations in the end. But the email list building challenge, interestingly, converted a lot better in terms of the number of people who actually went on to join my membership. And I've looked at why I think that might be. And I think it's because it was more challenging, because it actually forced people to take action. I mean, the Facebook page engagement challenge, yes, a lot of people had really upped the engagement on their Facebook page by the end of the week, but it's probably much easier to come up with an innovative Facebook page post every day for 7 days than it is to actually put together a lead magnet. And if you're not familiar with the term lead magnet, what I mean by that is something you create. It might be a resource, or it might be a download or a cheat sheet or a video series that you create so that when people come to your website and they're interested in your content, then you give them a free piece of content that hopefully solves a problem for them, gives them a quick win, and means that you can keep in touch with them then by email, which is where you're going to make most of your sales. That's what I mean by a lead magnet. So I felt that the email list building challenge was much more successful in terms of conversions, even though it was smaller. And I felt that was because it was harder. It really required people to come in and really roll up their sleeve and do the work. So I thought, if I'm going to do another challenge, not only do I want something that actually shows a real impact on the bottom line, but I want something that forces people to work. Like, if they want to get involved, they're going to have to work. They're going to have to be quite public. There's going to be accountability. And I thought that a sales challenge would really do that. The other reason I chose sales is, although, I mean, I've certainly shifted my own focus in terms of how I'm helping people over the last year or so. And now I'm focusing specifically on marketing. Before, it was PR and marketing. But one of the things that I've really noticed is that I'm seeing a lot of my clients, and particularly when they join me in the membership, and they're doing all of the marketing things. So they're trying to build their email list. They're trying to build their following on social media. They're trying out Facebook ads. And what they're essentially doing is spending a lot of time trying to attract cold leads. So people that they have no relationship with whatsoever already. And cold leads are great. We all need to be bringing cold leads into our business. And there are certain types of marketing activities that are very good. I mean, email list building is a great example of that. You bring somebody on your list, then you nurture them. The problem with cold leads is that they often take 6, 9, or 12 months sometimes to convert. And I'll actually give you some real examples of this later in this episode. So if you're just doing those kind of activities, the ones that attract cold leads and help you to engage with cold leads, then you may find yourself being really frustrated because those leads are going to take time to nurture and convert. So if you need to bring money into your business fast, you need to know how to reach out to your hottest leads. And these are generally the people that you already know, you already have a relationship with, because maybe they are an existing customer or you've worked with them in the past. You need to know how to do this. You need to know how to do it quick, because that's what's going to help you to bring money into your business fast. So I was seeing a lot of my clients who were spending a lot of time on cold lead attraction, basically. And that's fine. You do need to be doing all of that. It's really, really important. But if you're doing that and you're actually too scared just to reach out to your existing customers or people that you've worked with in the past, then you're not going to have any money coming into your business. And I've actually been talking to my own membership about this a lot more. I've been really, really encouraging them to reach out and ask for the sale, to follow up. I've been really encouraging them to be much more focused on sales as well as marketing, because marketing is all very well. But actually, if you can't then reach out and then follow up with people and actually get people over the line and make that sale, then actually it's all a little bit immaterial. You can't have one without the other. So that was one of the reasons why I was really keen to do a sales challenge. So I'm just going to run you through some of the figures now. So in terms of the results, I had 703 people signed up overall for the challenge. 251 of those people joined the Facebook group. So that to me would indicate that they were interested, engaged enough to kind of take the next step. But interestingly, in that first 5 days, only 30 people, so I mentioned that we generated £30,000 worth of sales in the first 5 days, but that was made up of 30 people. So it's 30 people who shared their figures with me. There may well be other people who also had successes who didn't share their figures, but they are the people that shared their figures with me inside our Facebook group. And then after another week, so I gave it another week and went back, and we had £56,000 worth of sales, and there were 40 people that checked in with me and shared that they'd made some sales. And there may well be other people out there who just haven't shared their figures. But that's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think when it comes to a challenge, so if you imagine that you get, I mean, I've had 1,700 people sign up for a challenge before, and you think, wow, that's such a lot of people. But actually, first off, it's a bit like a webinar. So, you know, when you host a webinar, I've had webinars where I've had 1,300 people sign up for them. But actually, I would only expect 200-300 of those people to actually show up. Of those people, only not a small percentage, but only a percentage would actually stay for the whole time. If you're sending out replays, only a small percentage will probably actually watch that replay, even though lots will sign up for it. So there's a big difference between someone actually signing up for something and then being active and taking part. So those figures actually, I think, so I'll just run through them again. 703 people signing up, 251 coming into the Facebook group, which would indicate that they're interested and engaged, and only 40 made the 56, 30. Collectively made 30 grand, and then it was about 40 that made the 56 grand when I checked in with them a week later. So I think that's fairly typical, to be honest. In terms of how it worked, so for me, this was a lead magnet. So this particular challenge was designed with a very specific intention in mind, and that intention was to get people to join my membership. So I just want to make that really clear. If you're going to do a challenge or you're going to do any kind of lead magnet, it needs a clear call to action. And it's really important that there's one call to action. So if you say to people at the end of a challenge, well, you could join my membership, or you could come to my live event, or you could buy my media diary, then that's just overwhelming. It's just confusing. Now, it may well be that some of the people who take part in your challenge, they do go on to buy multiple products. It may be that they don't end up buying the specific things. So I'll probably have people who don't join my membership as a result of this challenge, but maybe they do buy a diary or they do come to a live event. That's absolutely fine. But if I try and give them multiple calls to action at the end of the challenge, it's just going to be confusing for them and they're probably not going to do anything at all. So very clearly, I want to design a challenge that led into my membership. So that meant that I needed to come up with something that, I mean, for me, a really good lead magnet, it solves a very specific problem. And the problem that brings most people to my membership is they're not making enough sales. They don't have enough customers or clients. That's their pain point. So the idea is that the challenge solves a very specific problem for these people and it gives them a quick win. So I said at the beginning of the challenge, my ambition for all of you is that at the end of this 5 days, you've at least got some really hot leads. But to be honest, I'd like all of you to have a bit more money in the bank at the end of the week than you had at the beginning. And some people had a lot more money in the bank at the end of the week. So, you know, our top performers had 5,000, 4,000, 3,000 pounds. And when I say in the bank, I mean in terms of sales. So it may well be that literally wasn't in their bank. It's that, you know, but they've actually secured that work and they're going to be doing that work with somebody. But the idea is that you've got more money at the end of the week, or at the very least, you've got some really hot leads that are going to convert. So it's a transformation. So a good lead magnet should offer some kind of transformation, a quick win, solve a very specific problem. So not trying to solve everything. So for me, it was just one thing. I want you to have more money in the bank at the end of the week, or that you've actually got some hot leads that are going to turn into money for you. And so that's very easy to measure. It's very easy for people to get, say, yes, that was really successful for me. Really happy about that. So that's basically what I had in mind. So I had one single action I wanted people to take part in the challenge and then become a member. But of course, and I'll talk more about this later, I open up my challenges to my existing members as well. So for them, I guess my intention for them is that they felt that they'd had a really good win at the end of the week by working with me a little bit more intensively on this sales challenge. They were really happy because they had more money at the end of the week and they had more hot leads. So it's actually almost like marketing to my existing members and reminding them like why it's good to work with me, why they're going to get a good experience, why they're going to get results, why they're going to see an impact on the bottom line of their business. I'm going to share some interesting things with you because you might be thinking, well, why on earth would you want your existing customers to take part in your free challenge? And why on earth would that be a win? But I'll talk to you more about that a little bit later on. So how I put the challenge together. Now, this is my third challenge. I started off with a 10-day challenge. The second one was 7 days, and I've actually gone down to 5 days. And that's because I've looked at the retention figures. And I think most people can probably only put a sustained effort in for 5 to 7 days at the max. So the more I've done, the more I've realized if you want to reduce the drop-off rate, and I will, it's too early for me to sort of look at the drop-off rates in this particular challenge, but I certainly felt that the engagement was much stronger for longer in a 5-day challenge. So that's why I decided to do it over 5 days. And in my case, I did it Monday to Friday. So in the past, how I've done my challenges, I've literally just sent an email out every single day with a very specific task. So what I try to do is just break it down. So there's only one thing to do that takes maybe 15 minutes maximum in a day. If people want to spend longer, I always say if you want to spend longer, you'll probably get better results. But what you don't want to do in a challenge is make it so overwhelming that people think, oh my God, I've got all this homework. It's going to take me ages and ages. I feel overwhelmed. It's like, here's one thing. And I actually put that in my emails. If you took part in the challenge, I say like, do this one thing. So here's one thing that you can do to focus on. And I find that's much, much better. So day one was prospecting leads. So there was a very specific activity to do around that. So how to actually work out who are your hot and warm and cold leads. Day two, identifying and reaching out to your hot leads. So I got people to work out who are their hottest leads. And actually, I think I said, reach out to at least 3 people. If you've got time, do more. Day three, we looked at social selling, how to sell on social media. Day four, we looked at the power of following up, and I got people to follow up with people that they'd reached out to earlier on in the week. And day five was about how to sell every day. And I gave people some quite specific ideas as to how they could be selling their products and services every single day without feeling like they're being pushy or being a pain in the bum or anything like that. So very, very specific. How we've done it in the past is we've just delivered an email every single day. So when people sign up to the challenge, they will get an email usually about 10 o'clock every morning so they can get on with the challenge. This time around, I thought, well, actually, if I'm creating this content, I've gotten much more of a repurposing mindset over the last year or so. Like, okay, I may as well turn this into a podcast episode as well, because not only is that a standalone piece of content, so somebody can just listen to that episode on how to prospect your leads, they can just listen to the episode on how to reach out to hot leads. So there's actually a very specific episode that is very helpful for people, but also if people want to consume it as a challenge. It also meant that if you're listening to this now and you're thinking, oh no, I missed the challenge, well, actually, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can sign up to it and you can listen to the podcast. You'll get the emails delivered to you and can work through it at your own pace. What you won't get is the Facebook group, because I've closed that, and I'll talk more to you about that, why I've closed it later. But basically, I thought, well, I'm going to try and get as much mileage out of this content as possible. If I put them out as podcast episodes, not only are they an evergreen resource that people can come back to, it means people can carry on going through the challenge long after it's finished. But also, obviously, that's going to have an impact on my podcast downloads as well. So the more episodes I've got going out, the more downloads I'm going to get, which is obviously going to have an impact on where I am in the iTunes charts, which means that more people are going to find my podcast. So there's lots of reasons why I did that. And actually, it took me a couple of hours just to record all the episodes. I did it in one go. And I was actually really, really, really pleased with the results of those. So that's actually how I put it together. So how did I market the challenge? So the first thing I did, actually, because knowing that I was going to do this challenge in September, I knew that I needed to be filling up my funnel with the kind of people who would want to take part in my challenge. So actually, I've recently created these checklists. So they're marketing checklists, and they set out the activities that you need to use to get to 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, and 10K a month. And I knew right from the outset, as soon as I published them, I knew they were going to be really popular. And they're my main opt-in, my main lead magnet at the moment. So what I did about 2 or 3 months ago, I started to put some advertising spend behind those checklists because I knew that the kind of people who opted in for those checklists of the marketing activities you need to do to get to 1K a month, 2K, 5K, 10K, they are going to be the kind of people who are going to want to take part in this sales challenge that I've got lined up. So I was already filling up my funnel. I was already really marketing that challenge, even though I wasn't publicly talking about it, actually 2 or 3 months ago. So already thinking about who was going to take part in it quite some time ago. So then in terms of how we actually promoted it, well, I talked a little bit about it on social media. So I kind of warmed people up and mentioned that there was something coming. So I might have shown a little bit of artwork or asked people to give me their opinions on things. I was talking a lot more about sales, and that was very, very deliberate. So I started to post more things on my Facebook page, started to ask more questions about sales. Very, very deliberate because I knew that I had this sales challenge coming up and I wanted people to start getting used to hearing me talk about sales so that when I suddenly came up with a sales challenge that, you know, it didn't feel like it was something a bit like, oh, why is Janet doing a sales challenge? That, you know, people knew I'd been talking about it. I've been asking questions. I've been starting conversations about it. So again, I started that quite a few months before this challenge even started. And you may well have noticed if you follow me on social media, if you follow me on Instagram, Facebook, anywhere else online, you probably noticed that I started to bring that topic up more. And again, that was very deliberate because I knew in September I had a sales challenge coming. So we use the usual format that we use for marketing any kind of sales challenge or a webinar indeed. And it's usually a series of 4 emails. So if I'm marketing a webinar, I generally run the webinar on a Thursday. I find that's the best day for me. Could be different for you, but best day for me is usually Thursday afternoons, Thursday at lunchtime. And in that case, we'd normally send a series of emails, one on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we'd send an email out on the Monday. Then on Tuesday, we'd start the social media, send another email, another one on Wednesday, another one on Thursday, and usually a reminder actually just before the webinar. So we do a similar series of emails that we send out prior to a challenge. So in this case, actually, I was traveling in Boston and it was a bit kind of weird and my assistant Joe was away. So I think we ended up sending 4 emails over 7 days. It was a little bit different than how we normally do it. But I guess the key takeaway there is that there wasn't a long lead time. I just find with challenges and webinars, people quickly forget about them. So if you try and market a webinar or you try and market a challenge like months in advance, and people just forget about it. I did actually give my members and I did give people a bit of a heads up about this one and just said like the second week of September, make sure you keep it free because we're going to be doing a challenge and just make sure. And of course, I chose the second week of September because I know a lot of my prospective clients, my clients, they have young children. And I know that during August, they're kind of on holiday and they're looking after their kids. And yeah, there's a whole kind of back to school thing going on, which is why we chose the second week of September to hold the challenge. So we had 4 emails that went out over 7 days and a couple of reminders. And of course, I was talking about it on social media and Facebook advertising. But I now want to share some figures with you that I think you're going to find really interesting. So consistently, when I work with people in my membership community and also when I talk to people about my marketing checklist, the weak area is email marketing. But still, people, it's almost like they don't want to believe that email marketing is how you attract leads and sales and how you convert those leads into sales. But I'm going to share the figures with you for my challenge. And I think if you were in any doubt about the power of email, I'm hoping that this is going to change your mind. Okay, so 703 people signed up for the challenge. Now, Infusionsoft, our email marketing provider that we use at the moment, they can be a little bit glitchy. So it may well be that it's double tagged people and things like this, but this will give you the general idea. So 703 people signed up. And so if we look at it, so 21 people came from my podcast show notes. I was talking about the challenge in my podcast show notes. 6 people came from Twitter. 9 people came from Instagram. 26 people came from my Facebook page. And 39 people came from my Facebook group. Then Facebook advertising, we had 60 people join the challenge from there. But actually, when we looked at them, we were a bit disappointed with the Facebook advertising because a lot of them were people that we already knew, people who were already on the list. So I'll talk more about that later and what we're going to do about that. And then one interesting figure was that 56 of the people who joined the challenge had actually joined via a shared link. So when we're doing the marketing emails, we say, you know, do you think this challenge sounds like a great idea? Why not share it with a friend? So it's 56 people. So a lot more probably shared it with their friends, but 56 people actually signed up. And that's a really nice way. But I think you'll probably hear from those figures that I shared with you that in terms of the people who signed up from social media, it's very, very low. Like Instagram, I think it was 9 from Instagram, Twitter, 6, you know. And often I think when people are doing challenges, they think that they can just kind of put out a few posts on Instagram or Twitter or in their Facebook group. I've got 13,500 people in my Facebook group, but actually only 39 people came from my Facebook group. And it may well be they'd already heard about it from my list or they'd already seen about it somewhere else. But I think that just really emphasizes to you how social media is just a way of reinforcing what you're doing, but actually where you're going to make your conversions, where you're going to make your sales, or where you're going to get people signed up to challenges or whatever, is going to be on email. So it's really, really important you focus on email. If I hadn't had an email list, then I would have about, I'm just totting it up now, I'm talking to you. If I didn't have an email list, I'd probably have less than 100 people taken part in this challenge. So I had 700, but actually if I didn't have an email list, probably have about 100 people that I managed to scrape together through social media. So I hope that's food for thought for you about why it's really, really important to grow your email list. So I mentioned that we tried some Facebook advertising and we weren't very impressed. We didn't spend a lot. We spent about $135 and we did get, you know, quite a good number of leads, but I think we found that 69% of those were already on our email list, so we weren't getting very many new leads. So obviously lots of takeaways from that. Obviously we need to think about our targeting and think about new audiences. And as with any challenge or any project that you do like this, you're always learning and you're always learning for next time. So, you know, some lessons there about the Facebook ads. Yeah, and the other thing we did a bit off as well is personal outreach. So if I saw somebody talking about sales, you know, my Twitter chat or something like that, I might share the link with them, but that's pretty much as far as it went. Okay, so now I want to look at the results in the context of my intention. So remember that my intention of running this challenge was to encourage people to join my membership community. So yes, I ran the challenge because I wanted to help people get great results and make loads of money in 5 days. But remember, ultimately, what I wanted them to do as a result of taking part in the challenge was to decide to join my membership community. So I'm going to share some figures with you. Now, just to put this into context, I'm recording this episode before the membership launch has closed. So I'm just going to talk to you about the figures for the first 57 that have joined, the first 57 new members. We haven't actually closed as I'm recording this, so I can only talk about those first 57. So 32 of those 57 new members that have come in as I'm recording this were part of the sales challenge. So I think that works out as 56%. So that seems about right in terms of the kind of conversions, because what we actually did was at the end of the sales challenge, so first of all, we went out to those people who'd signed up for the challenge and said, the membership's open, you can join if you want. Then we put it out to the whole list. So that sounds about right, actually. And it sounds quite good. So 56% were signed up for the sales challenge. 7% of those new joiners, those 57 new joiners I'm talking about at the moment, were completely new to the list when they took part in the challenge or they signed up to the challenge. So 7% were completely new. 28% of those were existing customers, so people I've already got a relationship with. So maybe they've bought a diary, they've been along to a meetup, they've been to a live event before. Now, this one's really interesting. 61% have already been through a previous sales cycle. So what I mean by that is 61% of these 57, so these are the first 57, remember the membership launch hasn't closed as I'm recording this, but so 61% of them have already either said no to me to join the membership or just completely ignored me. And when we talk about a sales cycle, we mean it might well be that they've been on my waiting list and a good proportion were on my waiting list. And we've gone out to them and said, hey, you're on the waiting list, the membership's open. It could well be that they took part in a previous challenge and they were invited to join the membership. But basically 61% of people have said no to me beforehand. 61% of the new joiners. Food for thought if you're somebody who worries about going back to people for a second time. Remember that when people say no to you, it doesn't mean no, it just means not now, thank you. Interesting in terms of how long it's taken me to nurture some of the leads. So 47% of those people who've just joined, those new joiners, I'm talking about the first 57 here, have joined my list in 2018. But actually 19% have been on my list since 2018, and this is their first purchase to join the membership. So a few takeaways for you. Now, it's early days. And as I say, as I'm recording this, I'm only talking to you about the first 57 new members that have come in off the back of the challenge, because I couldn't wait for the membership to close. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get this podcast episode out to you. But I think the key takeaways for you are these. So first off is that email marketing is king. I share that message very frequently. But if I just relied on social media to promote this challenge and also to promote my membership, then I would have had a fraction of sales basically as a result of it. I think there's a big lesson there about the fact that people don't generally buy the first time round. You need to nurture them. They might need to say no to you. They might need to ignore you before they gain the trust, enough trust to become a customer of yours. Remember that 61% of people have already been through a previous sales cycle before they felt that they were able to come and join me in my membership. Facebook ads, I think I'm going to look more into why our Facebook ads weren't as successful as we hoped. But I think, and my experience has been in the past, that they're not quite so good for challenges, because on a Facebook ad, I think you want to offer somebody a quick win. So a cheat sheet or some templates, something like that, that's great. If someone can open their inbox and have a quick win, that's brilliant. That's why my checklists work really well. They convert really well as Facebook ads. But I think with a challenge, what you're asking people to do is to give you a lot of time and commitment. So if you don't know somebody and you're advertising to them on Facebook ads and you're inviting them to spend 5 days with you, that's quite a big leap. It's kind of like going from, you know, a first meeting to, like, you know, taking somebody straight to bed. You know, it's kind of like there's not really much nurturing and warm up, and it's a big ask to ask somebody who previously didn't know you to take part in a 5-day challenge. So I would suggest we need to look into it more, but that's probably why our Facebook ads were just attracting a lot of people that we knew already. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, it may well be that they read about the challenge in their email and that wasn't enough to convince them, but the Facebook ad was the one that convinced them, and obviously we didn't spend a lot of money on it. And if you found this useful and you're thinking, well, actually, I'd like to maybe run my own challenge, or I'd like to understand a little bit more about how they work, I've got a couple of other podcast episodes for you. So episode 254, how to build your email list through online challenges, and episode 256, how to promote an online challenge. Oh yeah, and there's one more important thing that I want to talk to you about. So first off, I want to say congratulations to Nadine Powery, because she made £5,000 in the challenge. And actually, what I think I'll do is I'll run through some of the figures with you just to give you an idea of how people did. But what was really interesting, Nadine is actually in my membership already. And what was really interesting when I looked at the figures is that 55% of those people who got the best results in the challenge, in the sales challenge, they were already my clients. But what was really interesting is when I looked at the final figure, the 56,000 that people have made over the 2-week period, 66% of that came from my existing members. So you might be thinking at this point, well, Janet, you know, what's the point? I mean, and why would your members do this? Because, like, you know, they're already paying you to be part of your membership. Then you put on a free challenge, they take part in it and they do really well. But, you know, shouldn't they be feeling a little bit shortchanged? I think not. I think that there's a reason why my members did better in the challenge. I think there's a few things. So first off, I've been talking to them about sales, about prospecting leads. I've been encouraging them to chase and follow up on their hot leads. I've been doing this with them for months. So we have a weekly office hour on a Wednesday afternoon. And I've showed them some of the resources that I used in the sales challenge. I've shown them already. I've encouraged them to prospect their leads, to really focus on their hot leads. I've encouraged them to really follow up. You know, so they've already been hearing about some of the strategies that I shared in the challenge. It's like it wasn't new to them. It was almost like revision for them. And they've also not just heard about it, but they've been able to ask me about it. So on our weekly calls or on the masterclasses that I run, they've been able to say, okay, Janet, well, yeah, you've said that, but how does that actually apply to me and my business? So they've been able to get much more personalized response. Often what happens on our afternoon membership calls, our Wednesday afternoon membership calls, is that somebody will be having a sales challenge. So they've launched something and they're not making the sales that they were hoping for. And we can kind of really go into some detail about that on our Wednesday afternoon coaching call. So again, they've been getting more personalized advice with this. So they weren't coming to it completely cold. But I think this is possibly more important actually, is that because they are paying members, they, by nation of the fact that they've paid to be part of the membership, they're invested, and they're invested in their own development. So remember I shared with you how many people signed up and how many people actually followed through. So, you know, 703 people signed up, but actually that 56,000 came from about 40 people. You know, so in terms of, it's easy to sign up for something, isn't it? But actually it's much more difficult to roll your sleeves up, get on and do the work. And because they're in my membership, because they've made a financial investment, I really believe that when people pay, they pay attention. So that's why I feel like it's no accident or it's no coincidence that my paying members actually were able to get really stuck in and do the work and deliver and take action. So I just want to finish up actually by running through some of the figures with you. Okay, so Nadine Powery was our winner, and she's going to be getting a one-to-one session with me. That was her prize. because she managed to net a £5,000 client in the first 5 days of the sales challenge. But actually, Andrea Goodridge, she came along the following week and she managed to net £19,000 worth of sales as a result of using the strategies that I shared in the challenge. Next, we had Annabelle Edrington. She made $4,000. Then we had Chris Davis. She made $3,374. Laura Northage, $3,336. And Garen Beau Boyson, I think I'm saying that right, $2,116. Dara Stringham, $2,000. Pragya Agwal, I'm saying that right, $2,110. So you can see these weren't small amounts, but actually, there are some smaller amounts in here. So I've got a couple of people who bought just £40 or £25 or £48. And in a way, actually, I was happier about some of those people who bought those smaller amounts in. That made me really happy because it's all relative, isn't it? So my mission at the end of this challenge was I wanted people to have more money in the bank at the end of the week than they had at the start. And it wasn't really about how much they made, to be honest. And when I run this challenge again, I think I'll be thinking about how I can come up with rewards that actually really reflect that. Because actually, depending on how long you've been in business, what you sell, what your price point is, bringing an extra £48 into your business could actually have been much more work for you than somebody who's bought £4,000 into. You know, I was well aware of that. So although there was some kind of really kind of high ticket or some really impressive sounding sales, actually for some of those people who were a bit more modest, you know, £100, £150, something like that, in terms of their general weekly or monthly income, it was a massive percentage rise. And actually, you know, if we looked at how much they were used to earning a week or a month and how much that had boosted their income, percentage-wise, they've done much better than some of the people who were bringing in those big, impressive amounts of like 5,000, 4,000 or 19,000 in one case. So it's all relative. Just give you a few other examples. So Ali Ribchester, she's one of my clients, £552.50. Dawn Plimmer, £600. Just looking through the list now. Melissa Kimball, £199.95. But basically these people, you know, tons of people ended up with more money at the end of the week than they had at the start. So for me, it felt like a really successful challenge. And just to finish up, really, the other thing that I felt like this was my best challenge ever was because it was tangible. I think all too often when it comes to creating lead magnets, we can create things which, yes, they make people feel a little bit better or, you know, they cheer them up or, you know, but for me, a really great lead magnet offers a transformation and a quick win. So for somebody to start off on day one with me, you know, not having earned any extra money and get to the end of the week and have some extra money in their bank or at least some really hot leads, I mean, that's a huge transformation. And if you can offer people those kind of transformations, then they're much more likely to get the know, like and trust that they need to become your customer. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. If you've got any questions about the challenge and you want to know more, then just get in touch with me. I'm on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. You can find me over on Twitter @Jan_Murray or on Instagram, JanMurrayUK. As this episode goes live, it will be too late for you to join the membership. If you listen to this and think, oh, actually, I want some of this, then I'm afraid we're over to the waiting list. But if you get your name on the waiting list, then as soon as we're open again, we'll get in touch and we can invite you to join.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.